Please the Lord to bless us together this evening as we consider his word. Let's turn to the book of Job, chapter 37, and reading verse 13. The book of Job, chapter 37, and reading verse 13. He causeth it to come, whether for correction, or for his land, or for mercy. Elihu, that young man who commenced speaking to Job after Job's three friends had ceased, spoke some very good and gracious words, and we come in this 37th chapter to the end of his speech before the Lord spoke to Job. And in the chapter that we read in those previous verses, he directs us really to the greatness of God and the power of God and how God controls everything. And he particularly relates that to the weather pattern, the clouds and the rain, etc., and how important it is that naturally we realize that God is in control of all these things. And we observe it, don't we, in our lives. We see how a man is utterly unable to stop whirlwinds or tornadoes and to make it rain or to stop it raining. And he's not able to stop earthquakes occurring and tsunamis. They all occur in accordance with the divine will and purpose of Almighty God. And as we consider such a picture, may we not then be encouraged to believe that as the Lord controls all these things, that we can so easily observe and know that man cannot control them? Should we not be therefore encouraged to know and to believe that the Lord does indeed control our little lives? And as we see the clouds are controlled in all their detail, to realize that our little lives are also controlled in every single detail. And should that not therefore be an encouragement to us to believe that when things seem to be going wrong, when things aren't working out, to realize that the Lord doesn't make any mistakes. As for God, his way is perfect. The Lord leads and directs in that right way. And there is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You need to realize that our ways are often the wrong ways, but God's ways are always the right ways. And so here we have then this statement before us. He causeth it to come. And it is God who is speaking. He it is, Almighty God, he causeth it to come. Now, that is so true with regard to the weather patterns. It's so true with regard to everything in our lives. And we might just think a few moments about some of those weather situations which occurred in the Word of God, which man was not able to override. There were droughts, there were famines, there were floods, there were earthquakes, there were thunderings, there were lightnings, and man wasn't able to put them right himself. It was only as God put them right. Think of that wonderful occasion in Elijah's day. Elijah prayed to the Lord and there was no rain for all those 3 years or so. No rain at all. Utter drought. And then when there'd been that occasion when Elijah had caused to be that division and that separation and that challenge to be taken up by the prophets of Baal to see who was the God, and how the Lord answered by fire as Elijah prayed and came down and lapped up everything. And then the rain came. The rain came. They couldn't bring it before. But when the Lord's purpose had been fulfilled, the rain came. We might think of another occasion of a storm in Jonah's life. Think of Jonah. Disobeyed God. Jumped in a boat. Off he went. Everything so smooth, he went to sleep. His conscience didn't seem to affect him, did it? But God sent the weather. And God sent a great storm, which they could not stop. The result was Jonah was thrown into the sea. Immediately, there was a calm. The whale swallowed Jonah. God's work was to be performed wonderfully in Jonah's life. He caused it to come. Jonah wouldn't have envisaged such a situation occurring. He wouldn't have envisaged the storm. He wouldn't have envisaged the deliverance. He wouldn't have envisaged the blessing that he received. He wouldn't have envisaged how quickly his feet would turn round in an opposite way to walk in the way that the Lord had ordained. And how gracious was the Lord to Jonah. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Oh, what compassion to rebellious Jonah. Perhaps what compassion the Lord's had toward us in our hardness and rebellion. And that's what you've seen in our life. Something like this. He causes it to come. The Lord sometimes brings storms into our lives. Now it may be a weather storm. Sometimes the Lord does bring storms. He brings snow sometimes. Perhaps he brings fog sometimes to stop us doing things, to stop us going somewhere. I wonder if we know in our lives those occasions when the weather has stopped us doing something which we wanted to do, but we knew wasn't good and right and proper, and yet our heart was set on it, but the weather stopped it. And then perhaps as we look back, as we get older, we recollect the Lord caused it to come. He caused the weather to change perhaps in a particular day in our lives to stop us doing something. You see the compassion and the mercy and the favour of Almighty God. He caused it to come. And it's very relevant that we notice that the first point he says is whether for correction. Correction. Now we don't like being corrected, do we? We don't like to be told we're doing something wrong. And, you know, we bridle, don't we? When we're told we're doing something wrong. We're quizzed as to our attitude on a certain aspect, perhaps. We don't like it. Well, what a blessing. If our God causeth it to come to correct us. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. You see, and no chastening at the time is joyous but grievous. But nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness. What a blessing it is to have a God who causes it to come in our lives for our good. We haven't been left, haven't been forsaken. Sometimes we might have wished we had been left and had been forsaken. But blessed be God, he doesn't leave us and he doesn't forsake us. And in this way then, he causes it to come for correction. It may be a weather pattern, it may not, it may be something else. It may be a storm in our life. Maybe a situation which has arisen. And God's caused it to come. And the purpose to correct us. To put us right. To bring us back. Deliver us from wandering in the broad way. Pull us back into that narrow way. Why? Love to our souls. The favour of God. He causeth it to come. How we need to consider these things when in our lives we find there are those difficulties, there are those trials and temptations, there are those storms perhaps which rise up, and they can rise up very suddenly, like it was indeed on the Sea of Galilee, wasn't there? The disciples went out, the storm arose suddenly. A storm arose suddenly. But in that case, of course, the Lord Jesus spoke and said, "Peace, be still." Oh, and there was a great calm. Now, the disciples had realized they had to call the Master. They couldn't cope with it themselves. There was that storm. Perhaps that's so in our lives. We may have had a storm arise. It may have risen very suddenly, unexpectedly. And we can't put it right. We can't stop it. We have to go to the Master. We may have forgotten the Master. We may have been carrying on in our own way. But then, bless God, if He's caused a storm to arise, which has brought forth that prayer to our Lord. There was an urgency, wasn't there, about it with the disciples. And there may well be in our lives an urgency, because we fear we may make shipwreck. We may fear we might even make shipwreck of our faith, because the storm has risen. As it were, the billows, the waves went coming into the ship. It may appear so in our lives. The things, the difficulties, they seem to almost overwhelm us. They're coming into the ship. Now, the Lord waits to be gracious. He causeth it to come for our good, for our blessing, so that He may show His power. Was it not so on that Sea of Galilee? And the Lord said, "Peace, be still." And there was that great calm. Oh, the Lord's work was revealed, wasn't it? No doubt the disciples looked back and never forgot that occasion. Never forgot it. They had a smooth fishing trip. They might have forgotten it. It's just something normal. But there was that wonderful deliverance. No storm, no deliverance. He causes it to come. The same in our lives today. No storm, no deliverance. When a storm comes and there is a deliverance, do we forget it? No. We remember it. And what is the effect? Thankfulness to the Lord. We give Him honour and glory for coming and bringing about that deliverance. And it may have been in our lives that there was that need for correction. That need for correction. See, correction can mean a number of things. We may have been giving perhaps too much attention to something or to somebody. The Lord won't allow us to have idols. And that's just what happens sometimes. We have idols. We may not always realize it. And again, it may be some particular object or thing or situation, or it may be a person or loved ones, and we may be almost worshipping them. He caused it to come for correction. Now let us never forget this. The Lord does these things in love to our soul. Isn't that wonderful? He does it in love to our soul. He knows where we've been going. He knows perhaps how we've been wandering away from the Lord. We've been distracted and we've been attracted away from the Lord. And then to realize the Lord's caused it to come, this storm in our life. We've had to cry out, "Save or we perish." I'm almost at the end of everything. What a blessing it is to have a God who hears and answers prayer. God doesn't deal with us as our sins deserve. And then you see, we may be corrected for a wrong view of things. We may have used our own reason. So dangerous to use our own reason. We have the Word of God, which explains everything we need. We don't have to reason things out. We can consult the Word of God. The Word of God will give us the answer. But you see, man likes to reason things out. He likes to be able to come to a conclusion himself and say, "Well, I come to that conclusion." It would be a good thing if God leads us to that conclusion as the Word of God speaks to our heart. And it may sometimes then be like this, that the storm comes to show us that our reasoning, logical as it may have sounded and been, in actual fact was illogical in comparison with the God's almighty plan for us. And again, we might have needed to be corrected, to be brought back. And again, you see, this correction is in love to our soul. And I believe, as the Lord teaches us and instructs us, we're grateful for his goodness to us in these things. We have to confess that we're slow learners. We also have to confess that we're not very good at learning. He caused it to come. Well, what a true word this was in Job's life, wasn't it? And well, he caused it to come in Job's life, didn't he? You know, those awful things. They were really awful things, weren't they? He lost virtually everything. Everything. And he wasn't an ungodly man. He wasn't an ungracious man. Indeed, God describes what Job was like. We're told, "And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil." And yet Job had a tremendous storm in his life, didn't he? A tremendous storm in his life. You might say, "Well, did it produce any good?" Yes, it did. Produced a lot of good in Job's life. A number of things he was able to declare as he answered his three friends. Yes, he was able to speak words like, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." He knew the reality of religion. And he knew that there would be a good end. And then when the Lord spoke to him, he repented in dust and ashes and confessed he was vile. Yes, that man who before who was upright, and yet the people used to bow down to when they went past, as we read in this book. But you see, there was a necessity, even in Job's life, for the Lord to cause it to come, whether for correction. And it turned out, of course, to be a time of blessing. We read, and God blessed the latter end of Job more than the beginning. How gracious was the Lord in Job's life. What a blessing it is if you and I can trace out God's hand toward us in our life. He causes it to come, whether for correction to stop us going in a certain direction. We may have set our minds on something. May I thought, yes, well, that's the direction. That looks quite pleasant for me. I'm going that way. Just like Jonah. Or look well to begin with. Well, the Lord dealt with Jonah, and the Lord deals with his people, and the Lord will deal with you and me. And it will be a good thing if we're able to realize in our little lives, God causes it to come. To bring us back. Now, it may not be a storm. There's various ways. In naturally in a weather pattern. It can be a lack of rain. It can produce a famine. And one of the famines we read of in the Word of God, a famine of the hearing of the Word of the Lord. Now that's a desperate thing, because that means there's no communion with the Lord. That means we're in a dark place, a hard place, a cold place, famine. He caused it to come. You might say, why am I in this place? It may be because we haven't appreciated the blessings of the Lord. It may be because we haven't been thankful for the blessings of the Lord. It may be that we've taken things for granted. We've carried on thinking, it's just, well, this is all right. The Lord's helped me here, the Lord's helped me there, and everything's going to be all right. And then we find we're in a barren state. We find there's a famine of the hearing of the Lord word. We find we're not blessed with spiritual food as in a natural famine. It wouldn't be natural food. So in a spiritual famine, there isn't spiritual food. Perhaps in that time, the Lord's caused it to come to correct us. And to remind us that we haven't been thankful for the blessings we have had. Perhaps we haven't acknowledged the blessings we have had. Perhaps we haven't honoured the Lord in the way that we should have done. And so now the Lord's dealing with us. And dealing with us in this way. That we're now walking in a time of famine. He causes it to come for correction. Again, what a favour it would be if the Spirit of God comes into our hearts and we realise our faults. Perhaps we might even say, I remember my faults this day. I realise, oh, I'm sorry. What a hard-hearted wretch I've been in not acknowledging the Lord's goodness and favour and blessing towards me. I just passed it over. And now I find myself walking in this way. He causes it to come. But again, The blessing is that we haven't been left. We haven't been forsaken. We haven't been passed by. I thought of that a bit recently. To not be passed by. Many people are passed by. They don't see the Lord. And they're passed by. We don't want to be passed by, I'm sure. I hope not anyway. I hope we want the Lord to come where we are and stop like he did when Zacchaeus was up in that sycamore tree. Zacchaeus wanted to see the Lord. The Lord knew where Zacchaeus was. He stopped under the tree and looked up. Zacchaeus, come down. For today, I must abide at thy house. He came down immediately. Well, it's a great blessing, isn't it? If we realise the Lord hasn't passed us by. And as it were, he's stopped where we are. And Zacchaeus was a changed man. It'd be a great blessing if we know what it is for God to stop where we are. He causes it to come. Whether for correction. What a mercy to know the Lord's taken us in hand. Directing us to himself. He causes it to come. And again, you know, solemnly it may be that we've, as it were, turned our back upon the Lord's blessings. And we haven't appreciated when he has perhaps drawn near and revealed himself to us. It may be in a small measure, it may be in a greater measure. But if the Lord has drawn near and, as it were, shown us his hands and his feet, we've been able to come, as it were, like Thomas and say, my Lord and my God. And now we wandered away. He causes it to come. To return. To return to the Lord. What a blessing, is it not, if we are brought to that place where we realize that situations developed in our life because we have not followed the Lord as we should. There is that very striking word, those that honour me, I will honour, and those that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. And that's a very embracing word, really, if you think about it carefully, because that means honouring the Lord in our life at all times. Not only when it's nice and easy when we come to chapel. When we live our life day by day. When we mix with the world. When we mix with our school friends. When we go to college. When we go to work. Whatever it is. Do we honour the Lord? Do we honour the Lord? He causes it to come. It may be the Lord causes things to come into our life. To make us understand that we have not honoured the Lord as we should. And the word is very beautiful, isn't it? Those that honour me, I will honour. God is faithful. We're not faithful very often. Those that honour me, I will honour. What a blessing. What a wonderful favour. And yet, those that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. We may say, well, I don't think I despise the Lord, really. Well, if you're answering that way, that means you are. That means there's a question mark in your mind as to whether you are despising the Lord. He caused it to come. What a blessing. If the Lord comes in this way and directs us to see that we've been despising the Lord. We've really been despising His great and glorious work, that wonderful work of salvation, that great and glorious life the Lord lived, and we're despising it. Do we come and say, do we perhaps think of that, those lines, ashamed of Jesus, that dear friend on whom my hopes of heaven depend? Are we despising that dear friend? Have we despised that dear friend? He caused it to come. What a blessing is the kind, gracious God comes to us in this way, that we realize that we have been despising the Lord. Now, we don't want God to despise us, do we? We don't want God to despise us. But are we despising Him? Oh, He caused it to come. Remember, don't forget, it's God's causing. It's not man's causing. It's God's causing. We may see secondary effects, but it's God that is the mover, and it's God that's the instigator, and it's God that brings these things to pass. And God, He it is that causes it to come, whether for correction. Well, that can come individually, that can come collectively as a church, it can come collectively as we have it here, as a land. And again, we look back in history, can't we? And we can see how the Lord brought about things in the history of nations to bring to their attention those things which had been wrong. The Lord caused it to come for His land. And this can be for a natural land, and it can be for a spiritual land. We might perhaps think more importantly it is upon His spiritual land. That really means the Church of God. He caused it to come. And again, we see sometimes how churches have had the wrath of God come upon them. Perhaps not in a physical way, but yet in a way where there's been a departure from the truth, a wandering away, and the Lord's cause to come for His land, for His church, to bring them back to that right way, to that God-honoring way, to that God-blessed way. And what is that way? It's very simple. The way is a Christ-like way. If churches, if individuals have lost their way, and they're bringing in peripheral things as more important than a Christ-like way, that Christ is not lifted up, that Christ is not exalted, that Christ is not central to the worship, then you see, we see the Lord in coming like this. He caused it to come for His land. Oh, that the Church of God might realize the importance of the head of the church, the blessed Saviour, as the central figure in worship. Because without that, there will be no true blessing. There will be no drawing. It's Christ that draws, nothing else. or then to feel something of the power which it is, the power of the drawing of Christ. He calls it to come, so that the land, the churches of God, might examine themselves to see whether the ministry is a Christ-exalting ministry, and whether the people are walking in a Christ-honoring way, and whether the Church of God desires the honour and glory of God, and whether their great concern is that Christ might be lifted up and honoured and glorified. He calls it to come, whether for correction or for his land or for mercy. All for mercy. Think of that. God is a God of mercy. We're not very merciful ourselves, are we? God is a God of mercy. He hears our cries. He sees where we've got to. He doesn't deal with us as our sins deserve. Why? Because he's a merciful God. If it wasn't for his mercy, we wouldn't be here tonight. None of us. We wouldn't be here tonight. It's because of his mercy. Well, he calls it to come, so that we are able to observe his mercy, to see his mercy. And we shall observe that and see it when the Lord points us to us and reveals to us something of the wickedness which indwells within us, the evil heart, yes, the sinful heart, the deceitful heart, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. How true that is. And if the Spirit of God comes into our heart and shows us something of the wretchedness and the evil that exists there, we'll need mercy. He calls it to come. That means to direct us to ourselves. You won't look to the person next door and say, well, that person's doing that wrong and that person's that. It'll be me. Oh, me. I am the sinner that needs salvation. I am the sinner that needs forgiveness. I am the sinner that needs mercy. Mercy is welcome news indeed to those who guilty stand. Oh, what welcome news it is. Has it been welcome news to you? Has there been an occasion? Is there an occasion where he calls it to come? Yes, the application of God's word to your soul through the influence of the Holy Spirit that directs you to the need you have of God's mercy. He causes it to come. Oh, what a blessing it is. It's a wonderful subject, isn't it? Mercy. Lovely word, isn't it? Mercy. Mercy. How prisoners are so pleased to receive mercy. And how pleased we should be to receive the mercy of our God. To realise that the Lord hasn't dealt with us as our sins deserve. But, there's one who has died in our place for our sins. His mercy. The mercy of God was so great. He sent his only begotten Son in this world. And whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life. His mercy to a sinful race. His mercy to a race that fell in Adam. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all guilty and hell deserving. What a blessing then to realise this. He caused it to come that we may see his mercy. Mercy to a hell deserving sinner, and that mercy comes to us through the merits of Christ. And so tonight, what does Christ mean to us? is he to us all our hope for salvation, all our hope for eternal life. It's because of his mercy toward us, rich in mercy. That's the Saviour, rich in mercy. What a favour then, if tonight we understand something of these words. Elijah, he spoke them. Spoke them to Job. True words they are. He causeth it to come. And whatever that may be. And I say, it may be in a storm, it may be in a famine, it may be in a similar kind of situation, but whatever it may be, if the Lord uses a situation to cause us to be corrected, cause us to remember the Lord's mercy, we shall bless God for it, to realize it's an evidence of sonship, that the Lord God is dealing with us as sons and daughters of the Most High God. He's been gracious to us. He's making his compassion and love known toward us, and we observe that great grace. We see the redeeming love of the Saviour, and we glory in what Christ has done. Now then, if these things come into our lives to direct us back to Christ, to bring us, as it were, into a lively spiritual condition, we shall bless God that there's such a word as this, to realize that it's God's work, and we'll bless him for it. He causeth it to come. Amen.